Well, what's significant about this number is that these suspected suicides took place within a short time frame of patients being in contact with health services. Now, this could be a GP surgery, this could be an emergency department, it could be a mental health facility, but where a patient has identified that they have mental health difficulties, or or a doctor or a healthcare worker has identified them as having such, we're seeing that deaths are taking place within a short time frame of contact. So what's different about these figures and our national statistics is these figures are reported on the HSE's incident reporting system, so they're reported automatically. So we were able to get the figures for between 2022 and 2024. Now, almost 450 deaths is a high number. What we're not seeing in our national statistics immediately are these deaths, because we're told by the HSE that only a coroner, and as we know, a coroner's process can take months or years. Only a coroner can determine a cause of death. So officially, some suicides are not being made official suicides until months or years after the incidents. So the significance, I think, Hannah, on these figures is the fact that people are going and seeking help or receiving help, but then taking their own lives.
And as you were saying, these aren't included, these suicides recorded internally but not visible in official statistics. I mean, that would be quite concerning, because then technically the official statistics of suicides are not really revealing exactly how many people have died by suicide. And then of course that can impact the takeaway from it, and then what sources are needed for that year depending on how many suicides there were.
Yeah, absolutely, Hannah. This is a problem, but again, HSE, and you can understand an inquest has to take place, a coroner has to declare a cause of death or find a cause of death. But at the same time, I think what's missing is the health services response to this, because even though a coroner hasn't officially declared that a suicide has taken place, I think the health system has its own figures. It suspects what's happening, and it really needs to do more. And as you have covered in the past, Kildare FM, you have spoken to Nolan Eustace, whose son Kelvin Brennan died last year. For years, Kelvin was taken to hospital to many appointments by his mother. I think in one year alone, they attended Naas General Hospital's emergency department on 60 different occasions. And Kelvin didn't receive the help, despite both him and his mum crying out for it. And we're seeing that more and more. We're hearing stories, we're hearing loved ones speaking up. And I think, the time is now to make a change. It should have happened a long time ago, but these figures speak for themselves.
And unfortunately, many people won't be surprised by those figures, by the findings in this report. When we posted it on social media, our story on the KFM radio website, people were saying they weren't surprised. Many were sharing their own experiences or families' experiences with this. The report found that Ireland's mental health system routinely funnels those in suicidal crisis through busy emergency departments with little capacity to track or protect them after they leave. When doing this report, what did you find? I mean, why exactly are these mental health crises being funneled through emergency departments, and then it kind of seems that there is no follow-up or any correct procedure to come after?
Yeah, so I spoke to another family who had lost a loved one last year, Joe Lochnean. His brother Adam, who was only 34, passed away after attending Galway General Hospital's emergency department with the nerves of attending there. He was triaged, but Adam didn't stay. He walked out, and within half an hour he was dead. And Adam's brother Joe put together a document called Adam's Protocols after his brother's death, and he found that no matter where anyone in crisis goes through the healthcare system, they all end up in an emergency department. So no matter where you go through to seek help in Ireland, you will be funneled through to an emergency department before either, you know, you're admitted somewhere, which is, from what I hear, rare, or you're discharged with follow-up recommendations. So the sad thing is that people in acute mental distress are going to facilities that treat acute physical emergencies. These places, like emergency departments, are overcrowded, they're overstimulating, they're not a place for someone who is in crisis to go to. And that is the issue that we have. And what Joe and others have called for is for mental health A&Es to be established in Ireland. I mean, they don't need, you know, the equipment that emergency departments need. We're talking about our mind, our mental health. They just need trained professionals there to be able to speak to people, to be able to immediately help people, and not funneling people through, you know, a system which is overcrowded, which they could be waiting for long hours. And like in Adam's case, he felt that he couldn't stay in that emergency department, and he felt his only option was to go out and end his life.
And unfortunately, there have been incidents where people will present to A&E in a mental health crisis, and they won't even be able to be seen because of how crowded it is. And unfortunately, in the case of Adam, they will leave because they feel they just can't be there. After doing the work in this report, Patricia, and I know you asked for a statement from the Minister of State for Mental Health, Mary Butler, what was the Minister's response to these findings and their way of addressing the mental health crisis that we are facing here in this country?
Yes, so the Minister of State for Mental Health, Mary Butler, said the department is working with the HSE to expand alternatives to emergency departments. She also pointed out to planned improvements like enhanced surveillance systems, a register of deaths among mental health service users. But the crucial thing here is that these are described as planned and nothing is operational. Mm. She also referenced work around strengthening regulation of mental health services and expanding dual diagnosis supports, which is what Kelvin Brennan's mum, Nolene, has called for. So it's all plans and, you know, proposals, nothing's in place. And I think, you know, for those who have lost loved ones, it's already too late. So they would want something to be taken place now, to be put in place immediately.
Mm. And that's such a good point to make, because unfortunately that is the truth. We're hearing so much of what is planned to be coming in the next few years. But again, this is something that needs to be addressed right here, right now, something that needed to be addressed long ago when this crisis really, really started to get out of control. I mean, looking at the findings that you gathered in this report, is there any evidence that alternatives to the emergency departments are being expanded, or is it still a case of these are just plans and all talk but no action?
Unfortunately, it is all plans and there has been no action. Sadly, you know, as we speak, Hannah, there will be more people turning up to an emergency department in Ireland in mental health crisis. And it's a roll of the dice what help they get. And that's not the fault of the staff, the doctors, the nurses. It is the fault of the system. The system is, you know, it's not built for coping with the mental health crisis that we have in Ireland now, sadly. Mm-hmm.
Patricia, thanks so much for joining us this morning to go through the findings of that report, a quite difficult one to go through. And thank you for taking the time this morning to join us and run through those figures and findings. That is Patricia Devlin from the journal Investigates on their latest report that found hundreds of patients died by suspected suicide shortly after being in contact with healthcare services in Ireland. And unfortunately, it is really not new news to many people. And we saw that evident in our Facebook post about this the other day. On our KFM radio website in December, figures obtained by KFM News revealed how more than half of all people who presented to Naas General Hospital with self-harm last year were not admitted to an inpatient ward. Over 12% of those presenting also left the hospital before a recommendation was provided. Just 26% of patients were admitted for medical or psychiatric care, far lower than neighbouring hospitals such as Portlaoise, Mullingar and Tullamore. Naas General Hospital now has a higher non-admission rate than Tallaght and St James's. And again, when we posted this story the other day, I believe on Monday, it got a lot of response online on Facebook. Many people were sharing their own experiences and their own failures that they have seen for themselves, for loved ones, for friends, family, in relation to their mental health and just not being able to get the support and care that they needed. And one listener in particular got in touch with us in relation to what had happened to her husband and then how it has impacted her life and her family's life. And Anne joins me on the line now. Anne, good morning and thank you for taking your call. And firstly, thank you for reaching out to us here at KFM. I can imagine it was a particularly hard thing to do, not easy. This clearly, you know, this is something that you have experienced firsthand. What exactly happened? What is your story in relation to these figures?
We were away on a holiday and Damien just started to suffer with mental health issues. He never suffered before. And as the month went on, he just escalated and he got worse and worse and worse. And he attended his doctor and he was doing one-to-one counselling as well, but nothing was really working. So on the Halloween weekend of 2022, we just couldn't really take any more. He was a shadow of himself. He was crying, everything. So on that Monday, which was the 31st Halloween night, I brought him up to Beaumont A&E. And as you can imagine, being Halloween night, it was very busy. So they never even took his blood pressure or anything. And he only actually got to see a nurse, not even a psychologist or a doctor or anything. And the nurse, in fairness, kept coming back, you know, and talking to him and everything. But nothing was being done. So about 3 o'clock that night, she came with a prescription for tablets, and that was it. And I asked why we hadn't seen anybody, like a doctor or a psychologist, and she said they were too busy. So people coming in drunk and minor accidents, and everything was taking precedent over Damien, who was really, really bad. So we went home anyway, and I thought he was getting a little bit better. And on the 3rd of November, 3 days later, he actually died by suicide. He was found by my son on the Thursday morning, and Keane was only 17 at the time, but he found Damien. So as you can imagine, for the next few months, Keane was trying to be strong for me and everything. And after about 6 months, it just impacted him. He couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. Every time he closed his eyes, he could see his daddy, the way he found him. So like that, I had him at counselling, at his own doctor, everything. And I didn't know where to go. I really didn't know where to go or what to do, because I found I got no help in Beaumont, and what happened to Damien happened after that. So I was at my wit's end and I couldn't sleep, because every creak of the floorboards at night, I thought it was Damien or Keane getting up to do something. So I just didn't know what to do. So one night I just had enough, and I got him into the car and landed him into Naas Hospital. And that was about 7 o'clock in the evening. And they went through all the, you know, they took blood pressure, bloods, everything, and asked them how, you know, what the symptoms were and everything. And they were fantastic. They got a doctor out of Lakeview, and he assessed them and everything. And they actually admitted Keane into Naas Hospital, now into Lakeview, into Naas Hospital. But the doctor was attending him from Lakeview. And because I just refused to take him home until something was done, because I was going to go through another suicide.
Of course.
So Naas Hospital were fantastic. They kept him in for 2 nights and got him on a programme. I think it's in St Mary's, a counselling programme, where he attended during the day. And then they were there for him at all times. Like, they'd ring him at weekends and everything and say, "Keane, are you okay? Do you need to talk?" And they were absolutely fantastic. And even to this day, three years later, they're still there for him if he ever needs it. So I can't say anything bad about Naas Hospital in that respect. They were fantastic.
And as, I mean, it's great to hear that Keen is doing a lot better now.
I
can imagine that is a relief. But is there still an element of you that remembers what happened to your husband and that fear? And unfortunately, as Patricia Devlin said, it almost seems kind of like a lottery system. And if you're going to get lucky presenting to A&E, if you are going to actually see the likes of a psychologist, or if you are just going to be left to fend for yourself.
Yeah, it is. It's just a lottery. Yeah, I was probably unlucky bringing Damien Halloween night. Maybe if I brought him the next night, things might have been different. They would have had more time or whatever, you know. The staff are very, very busy.
Of course, the point of this is the fact that you're questioning if I had brought him on a different night, maybe it would have been better. Whereas that is a question that no one should have to ask when they're presenting to A&E.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think if I had brought Damien to Nays Hospital, things would be different now, you know, as well, because the care Keen got in Nays Hospital was just second to none. You know, and the doctors stayed with us till 4 o'clock in the morning and then just decided to keep Keen in. But they were assessing him the whole time, and you know, they were really going through everything that was going through his head. You know, and they were fantastic. But Beaumont Hospital, and I've heard other stories as well about Beaumont Hospital, but Nays Hospital I just can't fault. In that respect.
Yeah, and Anne, you know, I really do, and messages are coming in of support here for you coming on this morning. No one can imagine it was easy having to retell this. But again, this is a story that resonates with you. It resonates with so many other people across the country that unfortunately there just still is no action being taken for there to be a specialist, you know, maybe an A&E ward for mental health. And it comes down to the point that people who are in these crises still have to present to a ward which is for physical injuries. And it just doesn't make sense in this day and age.
No, it doesn't. There's a stigma with mental health, and people don't want to be kind of seen, you know, seen to be suffering with mental health and to hide it.
Mm.
So they don't want to be presenting to A&E where, you know, everybody with everybody with, you know, with medical issues instead of mental issues are being looked after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was just one place or whatever for mental health issues. You know, Keane went to St Mary's, which is the offset, I think, of Lakeview, where to do counselling one-to-one and group counselling. And that was fantastic. Like, you're with others, like-minded people. And I think that just went on for a month. But after that month, he's 100%. Now, you know, he's great.
And you can see with the proper treatment, with the right treatment and intervention put in place, that Keane was able to get better.
Yeah, I can see with the wrong treatment versus the right treatment. Like, I thought I'd be going down the road the second time of, you know, like Damien. And but the right treatment Keane got, and he's looked after ever since by his doctor. And by Nays Hospital, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Anne, continue.
They looked after him in Nays Hospital with the doctors from Lakeview. So they didn't give him they didn't actually put him into Lakeview. It was just in Nays Hospital, but the doctors looked after him in Nays Hospital, you know.
And one message has come in, Anne, saying that, you know, their heart goes out to you and they're so happy that something was done for you and your son, and you still live with the memories of what happened before.
Yeah.
But there is hope for you now. And again, Anne, I know it can probably feel very lonely going through these, but there are so many other people who have very similar stories, and you're just one of many, and you were one that reached out this morning to talk about it, because again it's not something that should be stigmatized or left to deal with alone.
No, like, when you're the partner or the mother of somebody that's going through that, you don't know who to turn to, you don't know what to do. Like, my first issue with mental health was Damien. And I never, like, we knew he was in a bad way, but when you didn't deal with it before, I never knew exactly how bad he was. And you would never think somebody you know so well would do something like that. But you just have to kind of act and, you know, just err on the side of caution and just always get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't think it'll go away itself, you know, because people do need help. And sometimes, like, when Damien presented to Beaumont Hospital, he was asked by the nurse, are you suicidal? And of course he said no, you know. And 3 days later, like, he was gone. So no matter what people say, just get help.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is still those calls for more intervention to be in place to prevent further suicide. Anne, I really just want to extend my thanks for coming on the show this morning and getting in touch with us and sharing your story. That was Anne, who shared her story after KFM posted those figures of those suspected suicides between 2022 and 2024. Anne, good morning, and I hope you and Keane are doing a lot better now and continue to look after yourselves. Anne, good morning. We also got in touch with Pieta House, who weren't available to join us this morning, but kindly they did send us on a voice message of what to do essentially and how to, what the contact numbers are and what exactly to do in a mental health crisis. We'll play that message that they gave to KFM now.
Coverage of suicide can be difficult for many people. In Kildare last year, Pieta supported almost 300 people, providing nearly 1900 hours of free therapy and bereavement support locally. If you need support, you can contact Pieta's 24-hour crisis helpline on 1800 247 247 or text HELP to 51444. Support is available at any time.